Last Friday, through the help of the Immigration and Refugee Community Association, I was able to locate Abdi Ahmed of Citizens Bridge, whom I interviewed regarding the struggles that every immigrant faced here in Canada, as well as the new C-24 bill in which it aims to revise the procedures of becoming a citizen for immigrants and other views of immigration outside Canada. Now, here is my interview that I had with Abdi Ahmed regarding the struggles that immigrants face here in Canada. I am here with Abdikir Ahmed from Citizens Bridge. And Abdi, how long have you been an immigrant? What made you decide to immigrate?
I came to Canada as a refugee, and I moved here in 2003 because of the war in my country. I had lived in Kenya previously and then immigrated to Canada in 2003 as a refugee. I've been living in Winnipeg since then.
And what are the challenges that you have faced or currently facing as an immigrant, as well as the other immigrants that you interact every day?
I will say that, challenges faced by immigrants and refugees are quite diverse. What I will say is that refugees are the ones who face the biggest amount of challenges moving to the new country, adjusting themselves. Most refugees have moved from their countries without knowing that they were going to leave their country. They were not prepared to leave. They took off with what was in their hand at the moment and, you know, left unprepared. So some of them come into this country also. It's a new thing for them. Some have spent their life in the refugee camps, have been, not had jobs in the refugee camps. Some younger ones, kids, for example, have not had access to school. And then when you come here, many don't have the language. Many have been professionals back at home. And then when conflict happened in their own countries, they got displaced and have lost their professions. And then when they come here, because they don't have the language, they end up in very low paying, jobs that are not related to their professions. Also, there are a lot of other issues, including housing. The housing market here is made for Canadian families, very small families of maybe 3 or 4 or 5. Newcomers, mostly refugees, come with large families of 10, and the housing market here is not made specifically made for them. So you find a family of 10 with a very low income living in a 3-bedroom apartment, squeezing themselves because they cannot afford the bigger houses, because they're very expensive. The kids who come here, who go to school here, some of them have never been in school. They go to school here according to their age. They end up in class with kids who have been in school from kindergarten. Everybody speaks English. The teacher speaks in a strange language, English. They don't understand English. They end up looking at the pictures in the books. And, some of them get into trouble, because they cannot cope with the school, and you find kids in gangs and these kind of things. Fortunately, there are a couple of programs that are, support newcomer kids in the inner city today compared to a couple of years ago. So there are lesser kids who are newcomer kids who are being recruited into violent activities. The other thing is that most of these families have gone through post-traumatic situations where they lost loved ones or families have been killed in front of them. And then when they came here, their health needs are not addressed, so they're unmet needs. And you find that families are in the same situation, in violent situations. You find that kids are involved in gangs. And, those carryovers from the past violence is catching up with them. The language barrier is a big difficulty here. You find that many newcomers who are professionals themselves are stuck in situations that they will never have believed that they're in. But I would say that most newcomers are quite resilient and always hoping for something better. And they come here, you find the single mother who has 7-8 kids, all of them under the age of 20, who has been struggling the other day, who did not speak English, 4 years later driving a big van and with all the kids and, being happy. So there's also quite a lot of optimism amongst the newcomer population, specifically people who are of refugee background.
And also, There is a current bill called the C-24 bill in which it revises the current citizenship process. And what are your opinions about that?
So for me, as a new Canadian, I'm very happy about Canada. And, you know, I love this country. There are a lot of things that are different with this country that are different from other countries. There are countries in the West that have very negative, the policies that have negative impact on refugees or immigrants. Australia, for instance, houses refugee claimants in an island, in a concentration camp in an island in the Pacific, on the equator, where the sun is shining every day and the heat is 40 degrees Celsius every day. In the US, when you come to the country as a refugee claimant, they detain you for as long as 2 years until your case is processed. A couple of other countries in Western Europe, there's a lot of backlash against immigrants. So I'll say Canada is a pretty good country. However, systematic policies that the Conservative government has been introducing for the last 4 years has severely eroded our image as a country that's very humanitarian, that's supporting newcomers and refugees, people who integrate into this country, who have become the backbone of this country. Recently, there have been a lot of changes in immigration laws, and the most recent one that you're talking about, the Bill C-24, takes us very back, you know, back to, you know, situations that we will not, people we will not like to see Canada in. We find that some of the details of the bill are, you know, quite repressive. For example, you find that now you have to, they have increased the residence period from 3 years to 4 years. So you're making it more difficult for people to become Canadians. The minister is putting it out that, you know, citizenship in Canada is a privilege. But many people come here with the prospect that they are going to contribute to this country and make it a better country. But even when you make it more difficult for them to become part of this country, then you create a second-class society that is not going to be able to vote. For example, in the previous bill, the government changed the eligibility for people to apply to citizenship, for example. Before, people could apply for citizenship, and you know, whether you are able to speak English perfectly or whether you are functional in the market, you know, it depended on how you pass the knowledge test. Now the government has moved that to you must have a benchmark 4 level for you to be able to apply, which means there are a lot of young single mothers who have young children, who are not attending schools, who may not be able to attain, you know, the language level of 4, who will always not be citizens, who will be the underclass for a long, long time. So second-class citizens. The other thing that's happening is that Bill C-24, for example, raises, for example, previously, people, senior citizens, seniors, refugees or immigrants who are seniors, were exempted from doing the citizenship test if they were over the age of 54 years. Now, Bill C-24 raises this age from 54 to 64. It means that people who are between the age of 54 to 64, who will take a long time to learn the English language, even if they don't speak it, will not be able to apply for citizenship. They will need to reach level 4. How long will it take for these guys to reach level 4? It's going to take them a long time. They are not going to be citizens. They are not going to be able to vote in a country that they are paying taxes and contributing to, you know, to its prosperity. The other thing that I'll say is, for example, the Citizens Bill C-24 gives the Minister for Citizenship and Minister for Immigration and Citizenship the power to revoke the citizenship of individuals who have been convicted on terrorism charges. For instance, you know, I have no problem with people who have criminal issues, you know, being issues being addressed. But we need to have a process. We need to have, we need to have a system where, you know, bodies with jurisdiction on immigration issues, like the court, like parliamentary committees vetting these kind of things, or, you know, the process for revocation of citizenship. It does not matter in the minister's eyes who convicts you of being a terrorist. There are a lot of repressive countries in the world that are accusing people on trumped up charges of terrorism. For example, in Egypt right now, very bad things are happening. Innocent people are being accused of being terrorists and being convicted. So if there's a Canadian in there, there's one journalist who's in jail right now. If that guy is convicted of being a terrorist, even though he's an Al Jazeera journalist, chances are that the minister can revoke his citizenship. The other thing is, who is accusing you of being a terrorist? Nelson Mandela was considered a terrorist one time by the apartheid government. Many governments, governments agreed with the opinion of the apartheid government in South Africa. It means that if Nelson Mandela was a Canadian citizen, then the minister will have the power to revoke his citizenship. So there are a lot of things with Bill C-24 that are quite retrogressive for this country. The other thing that I will say is that I think increasing the residency period locks people into a box in such a way that, you know, you will wait for a long, long time to be able to apply for citizenship, from 3 years to 4 years. The processing right now takes 2 years. Can you imagine coming to this country and being a permanent resident for 4 years, and then after 4 years you apply for citizenship, you take 2 years to wait, you'll have waited for 10 years before you become a citizen. The other thing that I will say is that in previous regulations, if someone was a refugee claimant or came as a student and applied to become a permanent resident in Canada through the Canadian Experience class, you know, any time that was spent in Canada before the person becoming a permanent resident could be counted towards his residence period. So, for example, if someone had stayed 3 years before becoming a permanent resident, that period will be converted into 1 year, and then the person will live for 2 more years. So a total of 3, then to be able to apply for citizenship. Right now, the Bill C-24 removes that. So if you applied for permanent resident from using the Canadian Experience class, or if you're a refugee claimant who has been here for a while, then your residency period counts from the time you become a permanent resident. What happens to the time, all the time that you have resided in Canada? Like this, I thought this is supposed to allow someone to adjust, to learn the Canadian systems and all these kind of things. So it's quite retrogressive in such a way that it's not welcoming to many newcomers, and people are going to choose elsewhere.
And despite these difficulties, how do you enjoy being a Canadian immigrant, and why?
As at the beginning I said in responding to your question, is that Canada is a different country from many, many other Western countries. Even though there are all these things that are happening, we're still the best country in the world. And we complain because we don't want this to be taken away from us as our country. Canada is the best country. Everybody cherishes the fact that, you know, we are quite multicultural. Everybody can be who he wants to be and can remain to be who he wants to be. And everybody accommodates each other. There are a lot of services. Everybody supports each other. The other day when the government removed and stopped healthcare provision to refugees, everybody went out, all the doctors came out, and everybody was awakened to the fact that, you know, the government was doing something very bad to refugees who are vulnerable. And the doctors came out and the doctor said, we're going to treat them whether you like it or not. So the government rescinded its decision because Canadians stood up. And this is why I'm proud of being a Canadian, and I love to be in this country. And many other newcomers who have become citizens and who have chosen to live in this country, or have been brought here because of conflict in their own countries, they cherish the fact that, you know, they are in a country that's very progressive, and all of us none of us wants that taken away from us. We want to be the model that has been in existence for a long time as Canada, as a leader in humanitarianism.
And also, could you tell me more about your organization, the Citizens Bridge, and how was that formed, and how does it help immigrants?
Citizens Bridge is an organization that provides innovative poverty reduction tools to communities. We work primarily with Aboriginal and newcomer communities who are struggling with integration in Winnipeg. Many Aboriginal community members are immigrating from the reserves into the city and having difficulty with the transition. Many newcomers are moving here and having difficulty with the transition also. So we help people with basic tools, obtaining IDs. We help people obtain driver's license, because we know that driver's license is a tool towards poverty reduction. If someone has a driver's license, 1% of people who are looking for a job have a driver's license. 75% of the jobs either recommend or require driver's license. So we work with Manitoba Public Insurance to help people obtain a driver's license so that they can use that as a tool towards employment. We help people navigate the systems to obtain the IDs. For example, many newcomers who come to this country, if they lose their documents, then it's very difficult to get it back from Citizenship and Immigration Canada. And many become hopeless because Citizenship and Immigration Canada, you only call the call center and nobody responds to you. They need a picture ID. If someone has lost all their documents, where will they get their picture ID? So we help newcomers navigate the system to be able to replace their lost documents. We also help people with their citizenship applications to be able to apply for citizenship so that they become genuine, established members of this Canadian society. We help people get basic picture IDs to be able to overcome the fact that if they lose their documents, then they have an alternative picture, ID. So we support community to be able to use these documents to make steps out of a poverty situation. We also help people with financial literacy. Many newcomers who are moving to this country have been used to different money forms. And when they come here, they have a very difficult way understanding all the credit systems. They see all these flyers coming to their homes or everywhere they go. Company offers them a credit card, and all these things look free to them. And then someone finds themselves in debt to the tune of $10,000-$20,000 in 5 years because nobody told them that this is not free money. And we help people understand the fact that, this is someone giving you their money so that, you pay more to them. And we help people educate them around financial literacy.
And thank you for allowing us to share your time, Mr. Abdikir Ahmed of the Citizens Bridge.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And this is David Brigoli for CKW News. This is David Brigoli for CKUW News.